So again, reading that last sentence, the depository was visible from the observatory on the roof of the Mercantile Bank building 10 blocks away, the building where Slim maintained his offices on the 7th floor. And it's worth noting again that the Mercantile National Bank of Dallas is a Hunt property, and specifically, Jack Ruby got some money out of the... I can't remember offhand whether they got money out or put money into the Mercantile National Bank, but corroboration from that comes from the 26 volumes of Warren Commission testimony and exhibits themselves. Mabe Russell corroborated that for me via a phone call this weekend. So the actual bank that Ruby took money out of or put it into was the Mercantile National Bank of Dallas. Now, that is a Hunt property, and it's significant, I think, that the Rajneesh property, the Big Muddy as it used to be called, was mortgaged with a Hunt bank in Texas. Now, recall also that this man Booth was a real estate hotwire from Huntsville, Alabama. That obviously is not conclusive, but Huntsville, Alabama is the former site, well, actually the current site of the Redstone Arsenal, which is where the aforementioned Werner von Braun, sometime associate of Nathan and Nathan Glazer and his wife, Francoise, ex-wife Francoise, this is basically where they hung out. We looked at Huntsville, Alabama and the Redstone Arsenal a few weeks back in connection with our discussion of another of the German rocket scientists, this one who settled quite close to home, Arthur Rudolph, and his benefactor, John B. Medeiros. And, of course, all of the Project Paperclip scientists, that's the name of the project under which the German rocket scientists were brought to the country, have been implicated in the background of the assassination. Well, not all of the scientists, but their key members, von Braun and Dornberger, implicated in the background of the Kennedy assassination, specifically in connection with the Tennessee Valley Authority. So, again, not conclusive, but as the camera pulls back, look at the people who begin to come into focus. Huntsville, Alabama, Dallas, Texas, and remember also that Ma Anand Sheila went down to Texas to get her guns without serial numbers, and of course, Miles Ambrose, the Rajneeshpuram attorney with connections to the netherworld of intelligence and narcotics and so forth, also apparently was dismissed after going down to Texas to visit a wealthy Texan who was implicated in narcotics and gun smuggling deals. So, again, as we think about the Hunts, think also about the Rajneeshpuram connections to Germany. One of the things we spoke about in the past, in a discussion of Rajneeshpuram some months ago, we discussed some discoveries made by Steve Davis of Channel 7, a reporter for Channel 7, and specifically he mentioned that a lot of the funding for Rajneeshpuram comes from a young German aristocracy. And of course, Ma Anand Sheila fled to Germany, and the Rajneeshpuram has a great many connections to Germany. And that we find the Hunt family, that we find the Rajneesh property mortgaged with a Hunt bank is maybe not all that surprising.
Yes, the Hunt family has more German contacts than the parts department of your local VW repair garage. Let me tell you, we're going to read a short segment here from a paper entitled "Government Documents in the John F. Kennedy Assassination" by Peter Dale Scott of the University of California at Berkeley. Peter Dale Scott, of course, is one of the very well known researchers in this field and has written a lot of very good stuff, much of which we've used on the air.
This, by the way, is an unpublished manuscript and a companion manuscript, much longer, called the Dallas Conspiracy, along with government documents in the JFK assassination, are available from Tom Davis Books.
Okay, now the time that he's talking about when he says meanwhile, the time he's referring to is immediately before the John F. Kennedy assassination. Peter Dale Scott writes as follows: Nelson Bunker Hunt, who, of course, for those of you who are not familiar, Niptuck inserts parenthetically, is the son of H.L. Arizona Slim Hunt, the man who had the office overlooking the motorcade route. Nelson Bunker Hunt, meanwhile, had become the Texas representative of a German-based intelligence network, the ICDCC, or International Committee for the Defense of Christian Culture, which paradoxically united many of the CIA's most prominent opponents within the United States, most notably China lobbyist General Charles Willoughby, General MacArthur's former G2 in Japan and Korea, with representatives from CIA sponsor organizations abroad, such as the Ukrainians cultivated by the Galen Organization. One chairman of the ICDCC, Hermann Punder, was a former Abwehr agent and close ally of Galen sponsors Konrad Adenauer and Hermann Abs of the Deutsche Bank, while a later chairman, Theodor Oberländer, was close to the right-wing German emigre group to whose newspaper General Walker spoke by long-distance telephone on November 22, 1963, transmitting the story, accepted by the Warren Report, that Oswald had shot at Walker in April 1963. Okay, so just again to review this real quickly, here's Nelson Bunker Hunt, son of H.L. Hunt. H.L. Hunt, of course, is his involvement in the Mercantile Bank. Dave mentioned the connections there between Jack Ruby and these people. We talked at great length in the last couple of Radio Free Americas about the Hunt family and their connections into the world of paramilitary right-wing lunacy, I guess you'd call it. But, of course, as often happens, these people appear to be crazy, but their connections are to some rather important people, and they seem to get things done. And, of course, we see here Nelson Bunker Hunt immediately before the Kennedy assassination, affiliated with the International Committee for the Defense of Christian Culture, people like Charles Willoughby, MacArthur's former G2, and the Galen organization and the Ukrainians thereof, some of whom we've talked about have wound up becoming important parts of the Reagan administration at this point, which is something to bear in mind because, of course, Rajneeshpuram is an ongoing thing, and we're going to be talking about some other rather vague at this point, but possible connections.
Specifically, a man named Lev Dobryansky is Reagan's ambassador to the Bahamas, or was. I think he's just been recalled. But ambassador to the Bahamas, which is worth mentioning, because that's one of the places on the aborted Rajneesh itinerary when he was intercepted in North Carolina.
That's right. Lev Dobryansky's group that he has been sympathetic to and worked with is a Ukrainian group that was, in fact, allied with the SS during World War II. And these are the kind of people that the Reagan administration is seeing fit to put into public office. We might also think about, as we'll see later on, what some of the other connections are between these various peoples. But anyway, so we've got these Ukrainian people, these Ukrainian folks. We've got this man who's a rep of, or at least affiliated with Galen, with Adenauer, and Hermann Ops, a biggie, a top kicker at the Deutsche Bank, and of course somebody we've talked about a lot in view of his involvement with the assassination attempt of the Pope, or his possible involvement, and Theodor Oberländer and his involvement with this newspaper that General Walker phoned to. And we, of course, talked about that group and the connections between those groups and the John Birch Society and Dallas, Texas, and movement of military men and infiltration of ex-military men into civilian life, and specifically a lot of that going on in Dallas at the time of the assassination.
And, of course, we've also spoken about Charles Willoughby, originally Nave Wiedenbach, a German national, a doctrinaire fascist, supporter of Franco, and the top U.S. military intelligence officer in the Pacific under MacArthur. And it's interesting that he would hook up with this same group. Of course, the connections of Albert Wiedemeyer, another pro-German member of the China lobby, who also has been resurrected by the Reagan administration. We spoke about their connections to the so-called Expelle office in Germany, a group which advocates returning the Reich to its pre-World War II borders, its 1937 borders. And that particular group is intersecting with, again, the whole paramilitary right-wing milieu that we looked at in connection with the Aryan Nations aspect of our investigation into the Kennedy assassination. The last name, perhaps, that we should mention now, perhaps mostly for future reference, we've spoken about him in the past, but is the man Theodor Oberländer, another Hunt associate in the ICDCC. Oberländer led an SS unit which conducted an infamous massacre on the Eastern Front at the city of Lemberg, or Lvov, as it's known to the Soviets. It was originally part of Poland. It's in an area which has switched back and forth between Poland and Russia over the years. And Oberländer headed a group called the Einsatzgruppe Nachtgall, which comprised many of the same people from the OUN Bandera, the Dobryansky group that we spoke about just a couple of minutes ago. Oberländer, a key representative for the World Anti-Communist League, also from Germany, a former Adenauer official. And that whole tangle there is are people we've spoken about before, and we're going to be coming back to Oberländer, Dobryansky, the Ukrainians, and so forth. We'll touch on them briefly in our next Radio Free America show, and after that, front and center in connection with the World Anti-Communist League. So again, with the massive connections of Rajneeshpuram to Germany, and people were sent to Germany for disciplinary measures, and eventually the Ma'anand Shila group, the splinter group from the Rajneeshpuram, fled there and are now being held there. It's also worth noting here, note that the Rajneeshpuram territory was more than the Big Muddy was mortgaged with the Hunt Bank, the Mercantile Bank of Dallas. Now, an interesting thing in connection with the Rajneeshpuram is that many of the people from the Rajneeshpuram in India are being investigated in connection with currency smuggling. Now, one of the things that we looked at, as Niptuck mentioned earlier in the broadcast, in connection with some goings on in India, is an apparent U.S. intelligence front called Bishop Baldwin Rewald, Dillingham, and Wong. BBRDW is easy. The full names are not quite so easy. I had to hesitate on that one. Anyway, Mr. Rewald was convicted, and he maintains that, in fact, the failed investment company that he was the head of was set up for him by the Central Intelligence Agency and used for a number of different purposes, one of those, incidentally, being to establish flight capital from India. Now, we've taken a look at a number of different things in connection with the goings-on in India, the assassination of Indira Gandhi, links to various Western nations. We've taken a look at aborted attempts on the life of Rajiv Gandhi, and also the blowing up of some Air India planes, threats against other planes, and connections with a group of mercenaries, or a mercenary training camp headed by an FBI informant named Frank Camper. A lot of interesting goings on in India. Remember that one of the things that BBRDW is used for, allegedly, was for the flight capital from India, and flight capital could be expected from any country that was undergoing destabilization. So, again, as we take a look at the Rajneeshpuram and examine it in the context of the intelligence community, keep the following in mind. This coming from the San Jose Mercury News of yesterday, Saturday, November 16th, 1985. AP story out of Rajneeshpuram headlined, Guru's Disciples to Sell Rolls Royces. Just going to read two paragraphs here. Swami Dayan John, president of the sect's Rajneesh Investment Corporation, said Rajneesh's new home is in an almost undeveloped forested area of India's Himalayas. John said he did not think the guru would face any legal problems in India, where some of his disciples still must deal with tax and currency smuggling investigations. So it remains to be seen what connection, if any, the Rajneesh people have to some of the flight capital that allegedly was going through BBRDW.
Anyway, by way of suggesting just the kind of thing that we might be looking at in the future as far as the possible involvement of some of these Rajneesh people or the Rajneesh complex itself being used as a base for other people like Robert Franklin as a base for drug trade, we might take a look at a current drug bust that is going on and information about which is spilling out, a bust that apparently involves organized crime, moving drugs in great quantities through small American cities and eventually into larger American cities.
This also, before Nip gets into reading, this is a case which has a lot of implications for a number of the people we've talked about. Specifically, what we refer to as the Mediterranean merry-go-round figures in the background of this. So also does the Reagan administration, and I'll explain those later on.
Okay, this article, again, was provided by Mae Brussel. It's from the Los Angeles Times for Tuesday, April 10th, 1984. And the headline is U.S. smashes $1.65 million drug ring. And it goes, like, we're just going to skip down into the $1.65 billion, excuse me. And we're going to skip down to the middle of the article. Federal officials said the ring operated not only in the United States, but in Italy, Switzerland, France, Spain, Brazil, and Canada. Sicilian immigrants in small Midwestern towns helped funnel at least 1,650 pounds of heroin to drug connections in large cities. Smith said the first break in the case came after an undercover narcotics agent managed to penetrate a heroin trafficking gang in Philadelphia. The gang's heroin was allegedly supplied by Catalano, and investigators followed the trail to the small towns and then back to Europe. At the heart of the ring was the Catalano faction of the Bonanno crime family, one of the New York City's major mafia families, according to court papers. Those filings and the affidavits furnished by the FBI provide one of the most detailed portraits of how a massive heroin importing and money laundering operation does business. According to FBI affidavits, the ring laundered its cash through two New York brokerage firms, Merrill Lynch and Company and E.F. Hutton and Company, and through banks in Switzerland, the Bahamas, and Bermuda. There was so much cash involved, tens of millions of dollars, that it was carried to the brokerage houses in suitcases stuffed with $10 and $20 bills. In March 1982, a Merrill Lynch security guard was sent to a room in the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in Manhattan, rented by Franco De La Torre, one of the defendants identified as a money launderer by federal officials. De La Torre told the guard that he wanted protection from the hotel to Merrill Lynch's offices, where he deposited more than $1 million in cash in an account established in the name Traex, T-R-A-E-X. From March until July, De La Torre deposited an additional $9 million in the Traex account at Merrill Lynch and at E.F. Hutton. And between July and September, he deposited $8.25 million more with the brokerage firms in 11 separate transactions. An FBI affidavit said that on October 5, 1982, E.F. Hutton was serving with a federal grand jury, served with a federal grand jury subpoena regarding De La Torre and the accounts he maintained. The affidavit added that the brokerage firm's officials promptly notified a man who turned out to be one of the ring's contacts in Switzerland that a subpoena had been served, despite requests by the government that no disclosure be made. Skipping down in the article. Often, the cash proceeds of the heroin sales were returned to Sicily to pay for the drugs and to finance and operate heroin laboratories. To disguise the operation, some of the funds and drugs were funneled through pizza parlors operated by several defendants in such small towns as Oregon, Illinois, Olney, Illinois, Temperance, Michigan, Milton, Wisconsin, and Paris, Illinois. The drugs were sent to such metropolitan areas as New York, Philadelphia, Chicago, Detroit, and Newark. Badalamenti, a native of Sicily and a major narcotics trafficker since the French Connection drug cases in the 1960s and 70s, was identified by the FBI and by drug enforcement agents as the ring's main heroin supplier. He was arrested Sunday after agents tracked Pietro Alfano, a relative and another defendant, to Badalamenti's Madrid apartment. Alfano runs a pizza business in Oregon, Illinois, and is believed to be Badalamenti's nephew.
Okay, now a couple of the connections very quickly that we want to bear in mind with this particular case, and then we'll reflect briefly on this. Against the background of Rajneesh Puram, allegations of drug smuggling on behalf of Robert Franklin Black, the fact that Miles Ambrose, one of the kingpins of the netherworld of narcotics and intelligence, is their attorney, the fact that he apparently swung a pretty good deal for them because for all the charges that were facing the Rajneesh, he managed to get out of the country very quickly on the condition that he simply not return for 5 years, which is reminiscent in some ways of Dan White's high five, I guess you could call it. Anyway, the this particular case with Tommaso Buscetta being the star witness suggests kind of, well, actually it impinges back on what we refer to as the Mediterranean merry-go-round. That basically involves a number of different things. It involves the failure of the Banco Ambrosiano, a major Italian commercial bank, which in turn had a bunch of bad loans. Well, it failed because of bad loans which had been guaranteed by the Vatican Bank, the IOR. Okay? Now, the Banco Ambrosiano, in turn, shared offices. Well, it rented offices to and was connected with an arms for drug smuggling ring called Stibom, okay, that we've talked about in connection with the shooting of the Pope. And in turn, the Banco Ambrosiano chairman, the Roberto Calvi, was a member of a key Italian fascist group called the P2 Lodge, the Propaganda Due Lodge. We've spoken about that many times in the past. Headed by Licio Gelli, the P2 Lodge, in a nutshell, was sort of a shadow fascist government that had been involving military, intelligence, and organized crime elements, as well as business and press people. And it basically had been running Italy like its own little fiefdom for quite some time. That broke in 1981, and the P2 group has strong connections to the Reagan administration. Licio Gelli, himself an Oberlieutenant in the SS during World War II, was an honored guest at Reagan's inauguration. Now, Tommaso Buscetta, the fellow who is very much involved in the so-called pizza connection heroin deal, was very much associated with Michele Sindona. Michele Sindona preceded Roberto Calvi as the Vatican, the Ambrosiano chairman, as the Vatican financial advisor, and Sindona, has, again, as we like to say, had some more connections than a switchboard, involved with the CIA, involved with Italian intelligence, involved with, last but certainly not least, organized crime, including Tommaso Buscetta, among others. Tommaso Buscetta also affiliated with some of the Corsican gangsters who had been involved in the narcotics traffic, a man named Auguste Ricor, a man named Christian David or Chrétien David, and also the infamous Klaus Barbie, a former SS man connected to U.S. intelligence and the P2 group, who we've spoken about in the past. Now, Buscetta is currently singing on this, on the subject of this so-called pizza connection heroin ring, and it remains to be seen just where all of this is going to go. Two of the things that we should note here in passing is the fact that the places where this drug ring, the so-called pizza ring, was laundering its money are significant. It was laundering them at two major brokerage houses, E.F. Hutton and Company, and Merrill Lynch, Pierce, Fenner, and Smith. Now, George Bush's brother-in-law, a man named Pierce, I've forgotten his first name because I'm always confusing him with William Pierce of the National Alliance, a Nazi leader, but a man named Pierce, who is George Bush's brother-in-law, is the president of E.F. Hutton. Okay. Now, a man named Donald Regan, who formerly was Secretary of the Treasury, he is now White House Chief of Staff. Prior to joining the Reagan administration, was chairman of the board and chief executive officer for Merrill Lynch. So the two brokerage houses that we see in the background of the pizza group are very much connected to the Reagan administration.
And as a matter of fact, when Donald Reagan was first nominated as Treasury Secretary, he was under investigation by the Treasury Department, I guess, of the outgoing administration because of allegations of working illegal tax straddles for Merrill Lynch at that time. So I don't quite ever know what happened to that. It kind of dropped out of the news after he became Treasury Secretary.
Maybe kind of the way the E.F. Hutton charges got soft-pedaled when Ed Meese passed judgment on them. Ed Meese, the barn-burning, I don't know what you'd call his stance towards the Constitution, creative, perhaps. But Ed Meese has come under quite a bit of flack for having basically given E.F. Hutton a slap on the wrist rather than criminal penalties, where hundreds of indictments were turned in against E.F. Hutton personnel. None of them resulted in criminal prosecution. Again, remembering that George Bush's brother-in-law is president of the company. Bush, of course, in addition to being vice president, in addition to being a member of the Trilateral Commission, also was, last but certainly not least, director of Central Intelligence. So, again, with the massive involvement of the intelligence community in the narcotics traffic, it's worth thinking. Now, one of the things that Mae Brussel has suggested on her World Watchers program... What Mae has suggested is that there may be a connection between the allegations of Rajneesh Puram drug smuggling, the quick exit of the Bhagwan, and the case currently involving Tomasa Buchetta, the Pizza Ring case, which, again, has connections going back to the Reagan administration. We've seen some circumstantial links between Reagan-connected people and the Rajneesh Puram. The question is, was Rajneesh's quick exit in any way connected with drug dealing and to this administration? We're not drawing a conclusion. We're simply asking the question here, as is Mae on her program. But it's worth noting that the places where the Rajneesh people were going to flee to, the Bahamas, aforementioned, Bermuda, and Switzerland, which is where a great deal of their money was deposited, they are, of course, international banking centers, and because of their relative secrecy, they are favored by narcotics traffickers for that purpose. And these places, Switzerland, the Bahamas, and Bermuda, are the places that turn up in the background of the pizza connection, too. So the Rajneesh people have been scooting around, either trying to get to places or, in fact, getting to places. And Rajneesh himself has staged a very, very quick exit, and one of his attorneys, the person who got the deal for him, was Miles Ambrose. And so looking at all the German connections for Rajneesh Puram, the fact that their property was mortgaged through a Hunt bank, and Miles Ambrose is their lawyer, the former wife of Nathan Glaser is Rajneesh's secretary, we have an interesting tangle of events, and again, compare this with Jonestown.
That concludes the prepared portion of the broadcast. Now, all of our archive shows are on permanent file with the tape duplication service. The name of that tape duplication service is called Archives on Audio. That's Archives on Audio. They're located at P.O. Box 170023, Box 170023. That's in San Francisco, California, 94117-0023. The phone number is area code 415-346-1840. 415-346-1840. Write or phone to the attention of Paul. That's not the same Paul you just heard, by the way. And once again, neither Nip nor myself nor this station makes any money off of this operation. This is Dave Emery thanking all the listeners for their contributions and encouraging them to tune in next week and keep up the good work. Thanks for listening. Good evening.